Do you ever have the feeling or think that God is punishing you for your sins? You ever have that feeling? There's good precedent for it. Certainly, many of us were brought up that way. You know, even when we talk about Santa, you know, he's making a list and he's checking it twice. And, you know, if you're not good, you won't get anything. And, you know, that's kind of a mentality. And it comes out of the Old Testament, understandably. In the Old Testament, the Israelites thought that everything was controlled by God. Everything was a result. Because they didn't have the awareness, the knowledge that we had. So whether it was good or evil, God was doing it. And so obviously, if you were victorious, God gave you the victory. And if you were not, God was punishing you. The Maccabees, you know, the soldiers that died had a good luck charm, a rabbit's foot or something. And so they saw that as God was punished them. That's why they're dead. And so we kind of buy into that sometimes, don't we? That God is going to get you. God is going to get you if you do bad. And that just isn't the case. That's the issue that Jesus was dealing with in the gospel. Actually, the second reading, I was listening to it now, and it kind of reinforces that. Paul said, God wasn't pleased with them, therefore they died. So God was punishing them for their misdeeds. But Jesus in the gospel is saying, you know, do you think that the people whose blood was mixed with the blood of sacrifice of the pagan gods were the worst Galileans? He said, by no means. Were those that were killed when the tower fell, were they the worst in Jerusalem? By no means. In other words, God doesn't punish us. You know, we can look at the current, especially in some of our fundamentalist religions. I can remember hearing televangelists say, New Orleans got that terrible hurricane because it's such an evil city. And God was punishing those people for the sins of that city. Didn't you hear that from some people? Or hear, you know, there's a big to-do about that. We look at the tragedy in Heston. You know, where those people said, we don't believe that. But sometimes we believe it about us. Sometimes we think, well, I deserve this. I'm being punished for my sins. And it just isn't so. God does not have to punish us for our sins. Do you know that? Why? Because it's built in to the action. Sin is sin because of its consequences. Sin is sin because of its consequences. Sin hurts the sinner, and sin hurts all of us. We're all affected. We live in a sinful world. And we see what happened in Heston is a consequence of sin. But not the sins of the people, but it's like a pebble dropped in the water. Every sin in a calm lake, you know, the ripples go out and they touch everything, don't they? And that's the way sin is in our lives. That whatever, it's not just about me. That we are a community. We are interconnected, interrelated. And so when we sin, we're hurting not only ourselves, but we're hurting others as well. God does not have to punish us. And whenever the church says something is sinful, and mortally sinful, it's saying, beware. Beware, there are consequences to what you're doing that you don't realize. and that you're going to have to endure. So, fortunately, God is a merciful God. The way out of sin is repentance, to turn away from sin, as we said at the beginning of Lent, when we received the ashes. Turn away from sin and believe in the good news of God's love. And good deeds, just like sin, the pebble dropped in the water, spread out and touch everyone and change and transform our world. Like Mother Teresa says, you never know how much good a simple smile can do to transform others and to transform ourselves. So we are called to conversion during this season of Lent, to get in touch with our sinfulness and all sin. You know, well, I'm not a big sinner. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't stolen $1 million. I haven't been unfaithful. Wonderful. The consequences are drastic. But we're all sinners. We're all guilty of unkindness that spreads throughout the community. And we're all capable of being kind. It was one of the phrases, I think Plato said it years ago. He said, be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. And how true it is. But we have to become, sin is all selfishness. Amen? There's only one sin, really. Selfishness. Selfishness in which we try to make ourselves happy using others. Using others. And we can use others by being in control, by dominating, or using things. If I have this or that, if I have what you have, I'll be happy. Or ourselves. And there are, you know, multiple forms of self-indulgence that are harmful for us and for others. So all sin, the antidote is other-centeredness. We have to come to see others not as objects to meet our needs, which is unfortunately the way we see people a lot of times, but as rather to see them as opportunities to serve. What you give is what you get. When we make others happy, we share in the happiness. Amen? But it takes a conscious effort each day. We're all selfish. Anybody here that's not selfish can leave. That reminds me of the story about fire and brimstone preacher, and he was trying to get the people riled up, and he said, everybody in this parish is going to hell. And everybody's just taken aback, you know, and there's a little fellow sitting in the front row, had a big smile on his face. The preacher said, what are you smiling about? He says, I'm not from this parish. But we are all responsible for one another. We're all called to conversion. Our Holy Father has made this a wonderful year of mercy. You know, so many people are afraid of confession. Amen?
Amen?
And it's so sad. I always say confession is the Catholic Church's best kept secret. Why? Because as the Holy Father has told us, our Heavenly Father is so loving and merciful, unlimited mercy. All he desires is to forgive us in our repentance. We think of the prodigal son coming. Imagine how that son felt when he came home, having wasted his father's, you know, wealth and everything. And the father, all he did was take him in his arms and restore him totally to his relationship before through forgiveness. That's the sacrament of reconciliation. We don't have to be afraid. We may be embarrassed, but believe me, when you go to the confession to a priest, You don't have to be embarrassed, because you know why? I'm a sinner too. We're all sinners. We're all in need of God's forgiveness. And we don't... the opportunity that is given to us during this wonderful Lenten season to get in touch, and we do that through prayer, placing ourselves in the presence of the Lord, through fasting, disciplining ourselves, to say no, to gain some control over our appetites so that we can say no to our negative, our bad appetites for sin. And then almsgiving, which helps us to focus on the needs of our brothers and sisters. It's a simple formula, and it's so beautiful. That's why so many people will share with you after a confession, especially when it's been a difficult confession, they feel so much at peace, so relieved, because they've experienced the love and mercy of God. And so don't ever think that God is punishing you. At best, He's inviting you to recognize our sins so that we can repent and we can begin again to love and to serve one another.